How can an understanding of the theology of the cross help in times of pain, suffering, and loss? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is titled The Problem of Suffering, A Father's Hope. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Problem of Suffering by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Problem of Suffering, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
The issue of life transcends anybody's petty politics. This goes to the very heart of who we are as a country.
What I see about Governor Romney is that he says, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he's raised from the dead, and, you know, he's my Savior. Well, I see him as being a believer in Christ like me.
There's an Occupy Faith in Boston, there's an Occupy Faith in Oakland, there's an Occupy Faith in Washington, D.C., there's an Occupy Faith in Chicago. And there are more and more of these groups that are primarily faith leaders.
When you're talking about a fully devoted Christ follower, where's the focus? The focus is not on Christ. The focus is on self. And when the focus is on self, it's always wrong.
Homeschool, family, love, issues, etc. We have issues.
We were always watching history unfold before us, and in this age of 24-hour news cycles and instant communication, we watch it in a way that, well, frankly, mankind has never been able to witness it before. Some moments are more significant than others, and many are marking what happened in Egypt last year and what is ongoing in Egypt this year as one of those pivotal moments in history. If you're concerned about radical Islam in the Islamic world, were these elections good news or bad news? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, January the 30th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch joins us to reflect a little on the ongoing elections in Egypt. Right now, they're in the midst of electing their upper house of parliament. They had already elected, right before the end of the year, the more powerful other house of parliament. We'll talk about that as well. A little bit later, everyone's been talking for about 5 years now about the Mayan calendar, which allegedly predicts the end of the world or comes to an end in December of 2012. Well, it's 2012. Does that mean we are in the last year of the world? And people are claiming that other doomsday predictions about the end of the world also coincide with that dire prediction. We'll see what Ken Samples of Reasons to Believe has to say about all of those predictions of the end of the world a little bit later here in this hour of Issues Etc. Now, you can join us for the next hour. 1-877-623-MYIE is our call-in number. 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address @issuesetc. Robert Spencer is a regular guest. He's director of Jihad Watch and author of several books on Islam, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. Robert, welcome back.
Always a pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
If someone is concerned about radical Islam in the Arab world, have these elections so far in Egypt proved to be good or bad news?
Oh, very bad news. These elections are the ascendancy of the Muslim Brotherhood and other pro-Sharia Islamic supremacist groups in those various countries. In Egypt, you have the Brotherhood about to take power. They've won decisively every round of these elections, and that means that they have essentially a green light to institute a state based on Islamic law that would institutionalize discrimination and harassment of women and non-Muslims.
Through December, there were elections for the so-called People's Assembly. It's called in the news from the Associated Press the more powerful of the two houses of parliament that will be found there in Egypt. I take it that Islamists, as the news are referring to them, dominated there.
Oh, absolutely, yes. They won like two-thirds of the vote in every one of the assemblies and in every round of the elections. And it varied a little bit by percentage points, but was essentially two-thirds. And so they have no impediments now to implementing the vision of society that they want to implement in Egypt. And that's going to be a society that is deeply hostile to the United States.
What is the Muslim Brotherhood?
The Muslim Brotherhood is a group that was founded in Egypt itself in 1928, but is now international. It is dedicated to restoring the political aspects of Islam, which it believes are intrinsic to the Islamic faith and have been criminally set aside by rulers in the Muslim world, and also considers that it has a responsibility to bring those elements of political Islam to non-Muslim countries and to compel them ultimately to impose Islamic law upon their societies.
Is Egypt worse off now? I mean, many people are just doing the calculus that way. They're saying, look, under the Mubarak regime, things were terrible. It can't get any worse. What's your response?
Well, look, there's no excusing the human rights abuses of the Mubarak regime. No doubt about that. But the idea that because Mubarak is gone, therefore anything that's going to come after him is better is kind of ridiculous. I mean, there's no intrinsic reason why that would be so. And in reality, the groups that are coming in, they want to tear up the Camp David Accords that Mubarak has more or less kept for 30 years. They want to go to war with Israel. They want to cause a rift with the United States that could have untold kinds of consequences. And so what are we looking at that's better than Mubarak and all that?
How does the reaction, the way that the U.S. State Department has dealt with this, how does it measure up, in your opinion?
It seems to me that the State Department has been completely clueless, Todd. They are either just thrilled that there's an Islamic regime coming in Egypt, or they have no idea what the real implications of the vote are. And I think, actually, it may be the latter, because after all, we have the National Security Chief Clapper actually say that the Muslim Brotherhood was largely secular, which is so ridiculous, even on the face of it, by the name of the organization alone.
I remember early reports during the Arab Spring portion of this, when the Muslim Brotherhood was brought up, and it was always portrayed as a largely secularist movement. What is it, if not how it has been popular?
Well, it's actually a hardline religious movement in service of the political aspects of Islam, which, as I explained, they're part of the Islamic religion. So they believe that when they are working to impose the Islamic vision for society upon Egypt, that they're doing something that is in accord with the religion. It's a religious imperative.
What do we know about the role of religious, explicitly religious leaders, the mullahs and the others, who in other countries like Iran, I mean, people are speculating now that it doesn't do a lot to do good to deal with someone like Ahmadinejad because he's not the real power in that country. Under the Muslim Brotherhood, do the religious leaders have that same kind of all-encompassing influence and power?
Yeah, they could well. We will see what kind of government the Egyptians specifically impose. The Muslim Brotherhood is essentially a lay movement, not made up of clerics, although Sheikh Haradawi, the most famous and influential cleric in the entire Islamic world, is the spiritual leader of the Muslim Brotherhood. He's 84 years old. It's not likely he's going to become the head of state in Egypt, but I think it's very likely that he will wield tremendous power there.
Where else would we see the Muslim Brotherhood making similar political strides under the auspices of democratic elections?
Well, it's all over the Middle East, Todd. The uprising in Yemen was largely Brotherhood-fueled. There have been some rumblings in Jordan. The Brotherhood's also in Syria. There's some Brotherhood presence in Libya, although there are other elements there that ultimately are working for the same goal, for the imposition of Sharia. Also Brotherhood presence in other countries. And so this is not necessarily, however, just a matter of where the Brotherhood exactly is, because there are other groups that share its ideology and would be happy to work with and collaborate with it.
So bottom line question, does democracy in Egypt, which is what we're being told we're seeing in action, does it result in democracy in Egypt?
No, not in terms of some kind of a society that's based on Western models of equality of rights for all people. Women are going to be disenfranchised. The non-Muslims are going to be disenfranchised. The Coptic Christians in Egypt are very concerned because they see what's coming.
And will we see the implementation, the codification of Sharia law formally under the Muslim Brotherhood's political domination in Egypt?
There's certainly saying that's what they're going to do. We'll see if there's any significant resistance that they encounter, but I kind of doubt there will be.
What should the U.S. State Department be doing in this case? I mean, they do want to generally encourage democratic movements. What should they be doing in the case of Egypt?
Well, I suppose one thing they could do is stop giving them money and tell them that if they break the Camp David Accords, they're cut off. If they go to war with Israel, then we will be fighting against them. If they implement Sharia, they're cut off. We don't try to wield any influence of this kind and just keep pouring money into these places. And a lot of times this money is used against us. At very least, we could stop that.
Is Egypt the tip of the iceberg?
Yes. Where Egypt goes, a lot of the countries in the Middle East will follow.
What are your concerns about the future, especially the implications for our elections here coming at the end of the year? Does anyone on either side appear to understand what has happened in Egypt?
No, I don't think so, really. I mean, I think that there have been some good statements, somewhat good statements from Santorum and from Gingrich. At the same time, they both seem to favor more a large-scale military operations like Iraq and Afghanistan, which were completely wrongheaded from the start, not because we shouldn't have taken out Saddam Hussein or the Taliban, but because the idea of trying to bring democracy to states that believe that Islamic law is the highest law was self-defeating and foredoomed. And so I hope we don't get involved in those kinds of things. I'm not saying we shouldn't do anything about Iran. I think we should, but we have to be very careful about what we're going to do.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch. He's author of several books on Islam, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. You can find out more about Jihad Watch and The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen on Demand page. Robert, thanks for being our guest.
Todd, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, the predictions have been flying fast and furious, and some would say that the Mayans saw this coming. This ancient culture of the Southern Hemisphere, they saw this coming with their calendar. They knew that the end of the world would come this year because their calendar goes no farther than our version of 2012. Is it true? We'll talk about doomsday predictions for 2012 with Ken Samples after this.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 4 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your financial support. And we're looking forward to partnering with you again in 2012. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, Issues Etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.